Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
The best part of my day, and we had laughs, like the laughs that we're having this entire time. This was like a regular day at the Score, but maybe my favorite 15 or 20 minutes every day. I'd call McNeil in the morning, and then I'd get, you know, what guests are we going to have on, you know, which direction you want to go. And then you and I would shoot the breeze. And I think maybe we would talk about the show for about a minute. And then you would start telling some stories about, yeah, I remember being in Toronto having to write The Gamer because Joe Goddard was off doing something. Or, hey, I remember seeing Bernard King coming out after a Knicks game. You should have seen what he was wearing. But there were so many stories and there was so much fun during that 20 minutes. And then maybe at the end I'd ask him, you know, who do you want on the show? I don't care. What does that little weasel want?
What?
Little weasel.
What? No.
He's embellishing, right?
You never. He's embellishing.
You
no.
Never called me
I never called
weasel.
Him a little weasel.
Yeah.
A medium-sized weasel at worst. Never.
I heard Judd say that on Toast for Terry. Little weasel.
I don't think I. Oh, Judd. You know, that's why the cat can't get a job doing hockey.
He is the vet. You can now say this because it's your
is
two.
Is it safe to say veteran already?
He's the veteran voice of the Boston Bruins. He's Judd Surratt, and he joins us right now on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Judley!
Dan and Terry, great talking to you guys.
Well, how did the first year go? Was it the dream come true to do the Bruins?
Oh, it was phenomenal. Great coaching staff, great group of players, good organization from Cam Neely, Don Sweeney on down. Fans were fabulous. Everybody at the station was great. The bonus was how well that the team played. I think they surprised a lot of people how well they played. Unfortunately, they got bounced in the second round by a really good team in the Tampa Bay Lightning. But they got a lot of good young players. They got a great core, and we'll see what this season holds.
You saw Chris Kunitz in the Tampa series in round two. He's 39. He's going to be 39 when the season begins, Judd, but I thought he had a spirited season and made a great run with Tampa until they got to the Eastern Final. How much hockey do you think he's got left? Because he's now a Chicago Blackhawk.
I thought he was terrific last year during the playoffs. And remember, he's in a much different role, and I think he's the most decorated current NHL player that's out there. I don't think any other guy has won four Stanley Cups that is still currently playing, having one with the Ducks and having won three with the Pittsburgh Penguins. But I think in that role, he is fabulous. He is great in the dressing room. He's gritty, hard to play against. I think he has some Chicago ties in the past. He played college hockey not far from there. I think he played at Ferris State. And I think he's a great addition. But remember, you have to remember, he's only playing, you know, maybe 8 to 11 minutes a night, depending on what's happening. But I don't think there's any question that he can make an impact for the Blackhawks.
Ferris State University, I believe Big Rapids, Michigan, would be...
Bulldogs, baby.
Yeah, I spent a day or two there when a truck broke down on a fishing trip when I was 19. you're waiting for... It's like
I lived there and didn't spend a minute there.
It's like in the movie Little Miss Sunshine when the hippie Volkswagen bus breaks down and they say, well, it might be a week till you get your part. That's kind of what it was like in Big Rapids, Michigan that time. Judd, I know your focus is the Bruins and moving your palatial estate in Glencoe and finding a new home.
Want to buy it?
But not at that price.
Well, maybe we can work something out.
Maybe we can. I don't know if they'd have me.
Shows.
Yeah, I don't think they'd have me on the North Shore.
No, I agree with that.
So you've got stuff going on, but I know you're watching what the Hawks have done. They made a big trade last week with Arizona, sort of. Can you understand what direction Stan Bowman is taking this hockey team?
Oh, yeah. And listen, Marian Hossa is one of my favorite players ever, and he is a shoe-in Hall of Famer. But for salary cap reasons, for Stan, the way that the salary cap is structured, so every team in the National Hockey League has to be cap compliant once the season starts. And Marian Hossa's contract is basically on the books, and they take it off once the season begins. So it doesn't give him a whole lot of flexibility during the offseason to be able to add. So because of that, he was able to unload the contract to the Arizona Coyotes, and it gives him some more flexibility. But I think in the big picture, you know, for Stan and for every team around the National Hockey League, you go as far as your core will take you. And the Blackhawks core has already won 3 Stanley Cup titles. But that core has gotten a little bit older.
Yeah.
It's also changed. Marian Hossa didn't play last season, and now his contract was sent over to the Arizona Coyotes. Nicholas Hjalmarsson was a guy who was a part of the core. So Stan Bowman wanted to make a change with something looking forward. And then you have Corey Crawford, who for the bulk of last season wasn't in your lineup. And when he was a difference maker. So I think that was a challenge. And I think just looking at the Blackhawks now from afar, that's something that they're hoping to rectify.
Yeah, I don't know what they're trying to do. Why get guys who are in their mid and late 30s? It just doesn't seem to make sense. If you're going
to
reload, you might as well do it. And I don't know if any of their guys who have no trade clauses in their contract would take deals if they're worth what they would want for them in exchange. But Taves is just another player these days, Judd.
Well, that may be. I guess 2 things come to mind. One, you know, when we talk about a contract like Marian Hossa, to a lesser extent, Nicholas Hjalmarsson, and a lot of the moves that Stan Bowman and the Blackhawks have made have been because of the cap. But cap space is an asset in today's National Hockey League. But the other thing is, were you not a part of that Seth Mason conversation where hockey is like reggae?
Oh, yeah, I was there. Right. Are we talking too much? Is it time to change the record? Oh, boy. This is good.
First of all,
yeah, just like, screw this NHL. Let's talk about score memories. And in year number, it might have been year number 1, the vice president calls me in for what he called a chit. And he said, as opposed to a chit chat, where people talk and exchange ideas, a chit is where one person talks and the other listens. I'm going to talk and you're going to listen. I don't want hockey ratings. I'm in my car last night at 6 o'clock and you're talking to some guy named Michel Goulet. And I said, yeah, some guy who has scored 500 plus goals in his NHL career. It's Michel Goulet. Dan and Terry, you have a great show.
Yeah, obviously not a listener.
And he said, don't do it again. I got people driving to the United Center for a Bulls game or the stadium in that area. And I say, I want Bulls ratings. So I said to Judd, yeah, that's what he told me. Find Jocelyn Lemieux for $6.05. I'm going to give him
That's
more
exactly
hockey.
That's what you did. Yeah. I was in that meeting. Like, do you remember? It was, all right, meeting in my office, which usually meant you were smoking a dart in the back in the alley over at the bunker at 4949 West Belmont. How about we grab Jocelyn Lemieux in heavy drive? I'm like, are you not in the same conversation I was just in? Like, what are you doing? I'm going to steer you away from the iceberg, Captain.
See, you got to press him. You got to push them. Otherwise, they'll crap all over you.
Well, it still happened. Now, how do you, aside from the hockey, which I knew you'd love that, how do you like Boston?
It's an awesome city. Great sports fans. Obviously, a ton of history here.
And Mookie Betts.
Yes, and Mookie Betts. Obviously, you know, the Red Sox are tearing it up, and the Celtics had a great season. It's awesome. You know, it's a great city. I was so fortunate to move from one great city and to have this opportunity in another one. Terry, how did you avoid that meeting, by the way, with Seth Mason?
Oh, I wasn't important. I was just no, I wasn't the least bit important. Also, he never said anything to me about hockey. I mean, yeah, that's Danny's thing. You know, I'm not involved in the hockey conversation.
Judd and I used to just, you know, we didn't resent the Bulls. The Bulls gave us content, but we were hockey guys, and it frustrated us in 92. When the Hawks did make it to the final, but they were second page news. The Bulls were going for their second straight, and the management team dissuaded us from doing a lot of hockey.
I remember fondly watching Game 1 at Eddie Deppen's place over on Central.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, and when I just to go back to Terry, because I know you guys play the Open, and Terry never had any suggestions, but you know, every now and then, go get me Jack Ebeling so we can talk about Michigan State hoops.
Jack, you know, and, Ebling.
Of course, Seth didn't bring you into the office to talk about Jack Ebling.
No, he didn't.
Right.
No, you know what I did? I stayed above it. He was. You guys are the radio guys. I was just like a dope. I said it before. I'm just a dope. I didn't have anything to do with it. It whatever that the rise success whatever it was, Danny. The good with the bad.
Well, I have to, you know, give up a trade secret. When we were forming the score and producers were being assigned to different shows, I very slyly undersold our guest, Judd Surratt.
Really?
I didn't want anybody stealing him from us. So I wanted to say good enough things about him to get him on the staff, but make Tom Scherer not want to go near him and make the Monsters of the Midday not want to go near him. So I kept pushing Abby Polonsky on the Monsters, and I told Scherer, Rick Geezer's a wonderful guy, and he'll make a great executive producer. I'll settle for Judd Surratt.
And I remember Terry's fondness for the picture of Secretariat that Tom had on his desk.
That's exactly right. It was AP Indy. Wasn't it AP Indy? I think it was.
It might have been.
I think it was AP Indy. Wow.
It might have been. You know, but thinking back to those days, and I was thinking about this today, like who would do 4 hours on a center, a veteran center being traded in the NFL? Who would do that? We did.
Yes, we did.
4 hours on Jay Hilgenberg going to the Browns.
August 28th, 1992. Yeah, 28th
Danny,
of August.
Danny,
no wonder they broke us up.
Oh, Danny, we did 2 hours on the weekend when Buck Buchanan passed away. He didn't even play for the Bears.
I know. Yes. The Buck Buchanan show. The entire radio station did it. I mean, I think Mike and Dan talked to Hank Stram. Harry, you Harry Terry.
Toss power sweep. Did they get him with the toss power sweep?
Wait a minute, I'm getting my head spinning. Okay, go ahead.
I think we talked to Eddie Robinson, who he played for at Grambling. I mean, it was the whole day on the radio station. It was the Buck Buchanan obit. Really?
Oh yeah. Let's keep going though. You made me ditch Mickey Rourke because something was going on with Donnell Wolford. It took me a whole year to get his ass on the phone again.
What was going on with Donnell Wolford? Was that when
Who knows? But yeah. You told me to blow him off. You almost had me blow him off again. And I'm like, no, you're taking him right now. He broke the dump button. You know, and I remember the goose coming in. Do you know that he's swearing on the air? Yes, I do.
That was one of my favorite interviews ever when Judd got us Mickey Rourke, because even though the movie Pope of Greenwich Village was 7, 8, 9 years old, whatever it was at the time, I was still in a huge love affair with it. And Mickey
came on. Yeah.
And I don't remember canceling him. I remember it taking you a long time to secure Eric Roberts for the show, and he came on and he was Eric Roberts. Dan and Terry, you got a great show.
Yeah, sure.
Let's roast some marshmallows.
You can tell he wasn't listening.
Oh, I remember how excited you were when I told you I have a connection to Ted Levine, who played James Gum from Silence of the Lambs.
Sure. Yeah, we talked to Ted Levine. Yeah,
we did.
We had James Gum on.
I remember.
Yeah, and then you remember the great line? I think Silence of the Lambs is the most engaging movie of the 90s. You're sick, dude.
Was she a great big fat person?
You bought a size 14.
Then we're having and then we had like a quick sidebar, you and I yelling back and forth about the word engaging. I'm like, you could have used a different word, like riveting, something else. And I got to run for a dictionary, you know, move Neil Parker aside in XRT News, you know, so we can grab the Webster.
Neil Parker's name has been invoked. Now it's a show. My favorite guest booking / canceling of all time goes like this. We decided, as a show, and Brian Hanley was still doing the show part-time when this happened. We were going to do an interview with former Major League pitcher Dave Dravecki, who had a book on the street. He knows where this is going.
I know where you're going.
Brian and I did. We were having a great vibe. Everything. It was like, this is kind of a downer. Let's reschedule him. And the next day, Terry was in, and he was rescheduled for that day. And it was the same thing. We didn't want to change the vibe of the show in midstream, so we told Judd to interview him in George Offman's production studio so he doesn't upset. Judd didn't want to piss off the publicist.
Jane Hathaway, you mean?
Jane Hathaway.
Go ahead.
So he says, what am I going to talk to him about? And Dave Dravecki, for those of you who don't remember, lost his pitching arm. It was gone. Terry said, Judd, why don't you go ask him how he hails a cab when he's holding a briefcase?
I would never say such a thing. That could not be.
So bores.
That's fiction.
Judd stormed into the studio, and while he's interviewing Dave Dravecki, the studio's right behind us. There's a glass. We're describing the facial expressions he's making as he's trying to make conversation with a one-armed man. You find this one-armed man.
That was my job. I was a bounty hunter.
Oh, God. I sort of remember that now that you, because he wasn't, and we were making fun of him. Oh, God.
I was so happy, though, when Judd got his start with the Wolves. I hated losing him because he would fight. He would fight.
The great
me.
Ones must fly.
He would, yes. That's when Grant Mulvey, the only Blackhawk ever to score 5 goals in a game.
You can't stop yourself, can you?
To this day. No, I really
can't.
Stop
yourself.
Cuddle number 22, Grant Mulvey. When Grant Mulvey called me and said, tell me about Judd Surratt. Grant was involved with the Wolves. He coached him for a while, front office. And I said, hire him before somebody else does. I hate losing him, but you need to hire this guy. And you need to hire him now. And Judd got his start with the Wolves, which is 25 years ago already.
And I remember wearing the Wolves jersey going on the last Fish Fest out on Lake Michigan. I still have a Fish Fest t-shirt. I'm sure there's a handful of them still out there.
He has one on.
I'm wearing one
today. He's wearing one. I have one at home, too. I have the last splash.
Listen, you guys taught me the business. You always had my back, which I really, I am forever grateful. And I laughed hard every day. I mean, just thinking about these memories right now, and we could talk for hours and hours and hours about how good a time that was. It was the Wild West at that point, but it was a blast.
Yeah, it really was. Hey, Judd, is the league going to do anything about one of those Bruins players, good old number 63, Brad Marchand, about licking opponents' faces in the future?
You know what? I had a feeling that Marchie's name would come up.
You can't endorse that.
Well, no. And he knows, and Cam Neely and the organization basically said, and he understands that there's no place in the game for that. But in a lot of ways, Marchie's a lot like a guy like Chris Chelios. Phenomenal player. You'll love him if he's on your team. You cannot stand him if he plays for the other team. And that's what he is. But he is a fabulous player. And you guys, if he was a Blackhawk, you would love him.
Yeah, he's an irritant. He is fun to watch. I just don't sign off on lickage. Not on the ice, anyway. That's not the place for that.
That's what
I
hear.
And he knows that. And the organization pretty much made that clear after that happened in the playoffs.
Judd, great talking to you, man. Thanks for checking in. I know it's a busy time in your life. You've got a home to sell, you've got a home to buy, and you've got a camp right around the corner too. So
guys, great to talk to you. You guys are always one of my favorites. Dan and Terry, it's awesome that you guys are back together again. And whatever you need down the road, just let me know. You guys are the best.
My friend, thank you for that. And the greatest thing that I love the success of others. And that this guy is that. I'll tell you that.
Some of the guys after they've left the nest and they're prospering and they're
the best.
Dads and they're selling houses for $760,000. Yeah. Grand.
Whoa, hold on a minute. I should have known better.
We can make you a sweet deal. I think they'd love to have you up there.
Judd, be well, my friend, and enjoy the Bruins. I hope everything goes well. Continues
Same to you guys.
To.
All the best to you and the families down the road. You guys are awesome.
See you,
Thank
Judd.
You, my friend.
You're awesome.
Yeah,
it's an awesome fest. It's a love fest. It's old home week. This hour of the show is brought to you by Arlington Nissan. When searching for a new Nissan, search for ArlingtonNissan.com. Dan Pompey, we'll talk football.
Hey, we got to get a catch up here in the Bears here.
Yes.
What the hell's going on here? What are you doing?
We'll find out in a few minutes when the former Dick McCann Award winner checks in on the Score.
The what?
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
It's McNeil and Boers on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Glad you're with us on this Tuesday afternoon. We're with you until 6
it's
o'clock
tonight.
It's
a lovely day.
Lawrence Holmes will be. It is a lovely day.
It is a lovely day.
Lawrence is here 6 to 10 tonight. And tomorrow, we will be broadcasting down the hall in the XRT Performance Studio, and we'll give away a few tickets to that event. We've got room for about 50 listeners or so for tomorrow's show. We're going to have some food. I haven't discussed this with Mitch specifically, but at the minimum, we'll get a dozen pizzas or so and have some alcoholic beverages for the guests in attendance, not for either of the hosts.
No.
And we've got several treats, including Dave Wannstedt, who is going to stop by for a 5 o'clock visit. You know, talk about Roquan Smith. He really gets after it.
He'll probably be sorry when we get done with him. It sounds like a great idea. I mean, I always enjoyed his company. One thing about that guy, and his second life has been pretty good for him.
He's terrific
good,
at what
he
does.
He's pretty good.
What was, you know, I tried, when people would ask me during his tenure as head coach, why do you get behind him so much? And I said, well, he's a terrific defensive football coach. Secondly, he's one of the nicest guys I've ever been around who's in a position similar to his. And I wish Bears fans could have seen the more relaxed Dave Wannstedt we saw behind the scenes rather than the stammering for answers, nervously rushing his fingers through his hair, pacing the sidelines, because he didn't comport himself as a guy who was in control. But he was. He was a tremendous leader. When he walks in the room, conversations stop. Dave has presence.
Well, we will talk about all of that with him. And he was Wani's army. I mean, we formed Wani's army to back him up.
Died on a hill.
Unfortunately, we never made it to formation. Somebody gunned us down on the ridge. I mean, we're done. But hey, it was a noble idea. I mean, just to be in his corner, because for me, it was the greatest change in the history of mankind.
Oh, going from the Dit to Wannstedt? Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you and Ditka didn't like each other.
No.
And Ditka's wife
still don't.
Diana liked you even less than Mike did.
Yeah, I wasn't aware
she
of that.
She called you a CS, I learned in your book.
That's just fine.
Right? That's fine. Isn't that what she called you?
That's exactly what she called me, yes.
Reading is a skill.
This segment on the McNeil and Boer Show is brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. The sub above difference is daily, not shredded last night or baked yesterday afternoon. Good ingredients prepped fresh every day, because that's what daily means. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Those of you who've texted, we'll get to your text in just a little bit. Those of you holding, hang tight. If you want to jump in, 312-644-6767 is our telephone number. Dan Pompey, who covers football from The Athletic, is going to join us in just a couple of minutes as the Bears get ready to check into training camp. And we have some Hall of Fame stuff we want to run by the veteran football writer as well, right here on the Score, Sports Radio 670.
Don't regret it at the end of the day, and just mainly make the most of every rep I get.
But how many reps will he get? Got to get a contract done. That's Roquan Smith out of Georgia, the Bears' number one draft pick. As we get ready for training camp, in a conversation with a guy right now who's been covering Chicago football for, what is it, about 34 years
no
now?
No longer than that. It's been since the 50s.
Dan Pompey is with us on the show.
Well, maybe not. I could be drinking again.
I think Danny and I graduated from high school the same year, 79, Dan?
Yeah, but he started before you.
Yeah, I think.
Go back to that conversation. You know, last time I saw Dan Pompey, I was at, I did my last Super Bowl. I wanted to do one last Super Bowl. And they came by and gave me this hat, too, because I was so good that week. Oh,
Super Bowl 50 hat. Yeah.
I was so good. Oh, amazing. And I walk out front, and I see Dan Pompey come with this handsome kid. And I'm thinking, this guy's kidnapping people. Where did this guy come from? It's his son. It's like, I've known Dan so long that you just don't expect it. You know what I mean? I'd never seen him before. And really remarkable. It's like, well, of course people have kids, you idiot, but I just, for some reason.
You think Dan would never procreate?
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I didn't know. And there's this handsome kid. And oh, my God. I really am old. Am I recalling this right? It was in the San Francisco Convention Center. What the hell was that thing called? Is that right?
That's right, sir. I think I had two kids with me, actually, two boys. But I got to tell you, it's a pleasure to be with you guys today, to hear you again. I feel like I'm in a time capsule back in a period when all three of us had a lot more hair than we have now.
I have none. Everything's been taken away.
Let's talk about how the Bears can get Robert Green more involved in the offense this year. Roquan Smith, obviously a guy who's going to have everybody's eyes on him once he gets to training camp. Is he going to be there in time to get a full season of workouts in Kankakee County?
Yeah, that's a big question. Obviously, he needs that time. You know, when you're talking about a rookie middle linebacker, he's not a guy who can, I think, miss a couple weeks of camp and come in and skate right in. I think the good news is the Bears don't really need him as much as they need some other newcomers to make immediate impacts. And I just say that because they've got a couple of other inside linebackers who've started before. Now, you know, they obviously expect Roquan Smith to be better than those guys. That's why they picked him when they did. But, you know, it's not unusual for rookies to take a little time, and this could be one of those cases, even though one of the reasons they did select him is because he's supposed to be NFL ready. So it'd be a pity if the contract didn't at least allow them to find out how ready he was to be a big contributor at the start of the season.
That's the thing. If they're not hurt, they're not signed. It's like, you know, every top draft pick they have a recent finish, or at least many of them, are some kind of injury, something's wrong. And then you get this kid who everybody seems to love, by the way. It seems to be like the safest pick the Bears have made in a long time, that everybody loves this guy. Now he doesn't have a contract. Is there a chance at all, Dan, that he gets a contract in the near future?
Yeah, I think there is. I think there's a very good chance that he's there when he's supposed to be there, actually. But it remains to be seen. I mean, you never know what can happen in the course of negotiations at the last minute. You know, desperation and deadlines are often the greatest motivators. So I think there's a good possibility it gets done.
Let's keep it with the defense, because we're football guys. Everybody can talk about Mitch Trubisky until the cows come home, Dan Hampton. But we can talk
they have
football
already. Camp hasn't even started yet. I've never seen so much talk about a guy who really hasn't done anything yet.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's what I say.
Exactly. Where is your level of faith in Leonard Floyd?
You know, I think he's somewhat of an unknown. I mean, I really like his ability, and I like what he's done when he's been on the field. But the fact of the matter is, you know, he has yet to put together the kind of season that he's supposed to be putting together. So whether or not he can do that remains to be seen. You know, a couple of things. First of all, he needs to stay healthy, which he hasn't done. And the other thing is he needs to learn to finish plays better than he has. So, you know, there's a lot to be excited about in terms of the potential, but I think it's still potential at this point. And really what you want is things you can be sure of. And Floyd has to go out and prove himself a little more before we can say we're sure of it.
I'm a doubter too, Danny. And I wonder if the pressure consistently isn't coming from him, where's it coming from this year?
Yeah, well, not only that, but, you know, when there's only one guy who's got that kind of ability to get to the quarterback, you know, it's easy to shut him down. So they need, I think, a counterpart to him. They obviously have Akeem Hicks, who's a good pass rusher in a different sense, kind of a power rusher who plays inside more. But I think they really need another edge rusher to emerge, to at least give the offense something to think about, you know, and that's, they put a lot of their faith in Aaron Lynch, a guy who's got some talent, but he's another guy who hasn't done it consistently, and he's been in the league a lot longer than Floyd. So, you know, that's to me the biggest area of concern on this team. And that's a big thing. If you cannot rush the passer in the NFL, you know, you've got problems today, because every offense is too good and exploiting that. If you give a quarterback time, you give him options, you give him freedom to get out of the pocket and, you know, make plays that way. So I think Vic Fangio is going to have his hands full unless one of these guys that you're really not expecting steps up.
Let me ask you this. Is it potential that hasn't been reached, or is it the injuries that have held Floyd back? Because, I mean, when he got here, everybody figured he was going to be that guy that was going to get to the quarterback fast enough and quick enough and can do all these things, Dan. But it really hasn't happened. Is it potential? Is it the injuries that stop? What is it that stops him the most at this point?
Well, I think the first year, he was still figuring it out, and it was a big transition for him. He had a lot to learn. And I think last year he came on quite a bit. I mean, he did a lot of nice things, but he didn't stay on the field consistently, and that was a factor. So, he's a young guy. I mean, he's in terms of his playing experience, and he looks like it sometimes. But I think if he can make the kind of progression in 2018 that he made in 2017, and if he could stay on the field, I think he's going to be a very good football player this year.
Fair enough.
We're talking football with Dan Pompey, veteran Chicago football writer. You can catch him in The Athletic, and I'll give away some tickets to tomorrow's show in less than 10 minutes. So don't you go anywhere for that. The Bears have a lot invested at the corner position. Only 11th in the league in terms of percentage of cap dollars. I thought they'd be much higher than that after giving a fresh, really lucrative pact to Kyle Fuller a half of a season and to Prince Amukamara. I'm not in love with those two guys, Dan. I think coupled with the questionable pass rush and those two guys as your key corners, I'm not crazy about that. What did you think of those signings? Were those the right moves to make?
You know, I was kind of thinking they might go after one of the free agent corners because there were some possibilities out there this year that I thought could have been upgrades. But they were happy with both those guys. Now, Fuller is coming off a career year. So the question mark to me is, can he be the corner he was in 2017, or is he going to be the cornerback he was the first 3 years of his career, which was kind of an inconsistent corner that basically wasn't good enough? So that's going to be real interesting. That's another critical position for the Bears. And you know, if he's not the player he was last year, then they've got problems, I think. Then maybe they're going to depend more on Marcus Cooper, a guy who they thought really highly of before they had him, and then less highly of once they had him. So Amukamara, though, I think, you know, he's a serviceable guy. I mean, I think he's a decent player. He's not, a shutdown guy, a difference maker, or an all-pro guy, but I think you could get the job done with him. I like the way he played last year for the most part.
You sound like you share this thing with me about whether I don't really care what sport it is. You can name, pick the sport out, but the guy in the contract year that has that year that enables that team to say, now we got something, now we can re-sign him. I have a hard time having trust in them. I really do after watching him for so long, and then all of a sudden he's good, but it's a contract year, Dan. That kind of, I mean, you sound a little wary of it too.
Yeah, and I am, because like I said, the overall body of work makes you wonder. And, I think I would rather have a guy, obviously, who had 4 years of consistent production, or at least multiple years of consistent production. But, you know, sometimes the light bulb goes on late for guys. Sometimes they figure things out, or they become more comfortable in the system. We'll see what happens with Kyle Fuller. He did a lot of things last year very well.
Yeah,
and he was pretty good from start to finish, with the exception of, I think, a couple of games. One of them, I think, was a pretty big game against Green Bay, but still, he did okay. The Packers thought so much of him that they tried to sign him themselves. So we'll see where he goes in this season. I think skepticism is warranted, though.
From a positional grouping standpoint, where are the Bears strongest?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Writers.
What's that?
The writers.
Well, the guys who cover
the team.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the guys that are about, yeah. No, I think it's the
are
writers.
We still talking about defense, or are we talking about the whole team?
Whatever, yeah, the whole Whichever. Team. Yeah, mm-hmm. What do they do best? What positional group do you like the most?
Well, I really like the running backs. I like Jordan Howard a lot. I think he's a good, solid player. You know what you get with him every game. Runs hard, moves the chains, and is consistent. And then I think Tariq Cohen is capable of doing a lot of things that he hasn't done yet. I think he got off to a nice start last year, and then opposing defenses kind of started to figure him out a little bit, and I don't think the Bears coaching staff adjusted very well. And I'm really interested to see what he can do in the hands of Matt Nagy and Helfrich with, you know, a new offense. I think there's a lot of potential there for him to do some different things. The other position to me that is pretty strong, I think, is the defensive line, mostly on the strength of Hicks and Goldman. You know, you've got two guys there, I think, who, you know, are Pro Bowl potential guys who really can move the pocket and hold their ground and do good things for the defense.
Our guest, Dan Pompey, has a very unique privilege. He gets to vote on Pro Football's Hall of Fame. And not many guys can say that.
No, it's true.
In this country. What, 50 guys or something like that?
They don't even let me vote in this country, not let alone the Hall of Fame.
I mean, if you've watched a college football game ever, you can vote for the Heisman Trophy. But a very select few.
You're talking about me. I gave up my Heisman vote.
Yes,
when I retired, I gave up my Heisman vote to a better young man. What could have been everybody a young woman?
What is the procedure? I heard Connor McKnight talking the other day about Terrell Owens not even getting a video montage because he has chosen not to attend the ceremony in August. What do you know about that, Dan, and how was that decided?
Well, it was decided, you know, Owens said he wasn't going to show up, and then the Hall of Fame said, well, fine, we won't even acknowledge you. So it's a little bit of a pissing match, frankly, and it's between the, you know, the people who run the Hall of Fame and Owens. I think it's unfortunate. It's I personally think he should have gotten some or should get some kind of recognition at the induction ceremony because he is a Hall of Famer and he was voted in, and he's going to have his bust in the Hall of Fame, and you know, I think he should be part of the induction ceremony. I don't think it's right that he's not going there either, but that's his choice. So it's almost like it becomes a bigger story now than it was if it just had been acknowledged, if he had been acknowledged at the induction.
How was that decided? Did you get a vote?
No
votes.
No, it was just decided by the people who run the Hall of Fame.
David Baker and his colossal cranium.
Well, don't they all?
Yeah. You had his hat full of quarters, you can retire.
Well, you know what? It's really interesting because when you're talking about a guy, and you still remain a favorite. It's interesting because here's a guy whose ego is so big he didn't figure he got in the Hall of Fame fast enough. Isn't that right? Isn't that what his beef is?
Yeah absolutely. Yeah. You know, and I think... He thought he should have been a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Probably.
And I personally didn't think he should have been. I voted for other guys the first couple of years he was up. But I did think he was a Hall of Famer. I do think he's a Hall of Famer, and I voted for him this year.
Yeah.
And, you know, the problem is there's a lot of good candidates out there. I mean, I don't think a lot of people really understand or appreciate the number of candidates who are really deserving or really close in terms of what they do. Mm-hmm. It's easy to look at Owens' numbers because, you know, he played in an era when receiving statistics went through the ceiling. So you say, well, look at what he did. I mean, you guys know because you appreciate football and you've been watching it for decades that, you know, there were some guys in the 60s who were just as good a receiver as Terrell Owens was, but maybe, you know, didn't have anywhere near the numbers he did because it was a different football game.
True. It's absolutely true.
Don't ask Hall of Famer Bob Greasy to throw more than 13 times. Don't do it.
Didn't have to.
Don't you do it. No.
He didn't have to.
He'd still got to Canton. But that's not Danny's fault. He didn't have a vote then. Mr. Pompey, thank you very kindly for the time. And I also enjoy your handsome sons on Facebook. So keep posting.
Right. I don't remember one. That's how bad I am. Was I drunk? Was I okay that day?
You were so attracted to the 16-year-old, you didn't notice the other kid.
I guess not. I'm just, you know, well, there's something wrong with me. I think that's pretty much a unanimous feeling. Anyway, Dan, great to hear from you, my friend.
Pleasure
we appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you.
Dan Pompey. You can read him in The Athletic. Beat caller five right now to the Scores Contest line, 312-591-6700, and you'll win a pair of tickets to see us tomorrow, the Heavy Fuel Crew reunion show at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. It's brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit reversedavid.com as we welcome Ron Coomer, Cubs analyst, right here on the Score.
He wasn't Cub analyst when we first were talking to him.
Yeah, no, he was a young pup in a Minnesota Twins uniform
Frisky.
When we talked to him for the first time. Hello, Coom.
How are we doing, boys? You guys doing okay?
Yeah, we're doing well. How about you? Everything good?
I am right now. I don't know if you could do much better. I'm sitting out on a boat on Lake Minnetonka, and with Paul and my friends, and we are really enjoying All-Star break. Let's put it that way.
I got you.
I love the tonk. Yeah, it's let's not turn this into a Minnesota Vikings love boat trip because that also was on Lake Minnetonka. I think
we're not having that much fun.
A few boat drinks never harmed anybody.
That's right. Yeah.
Hennepin County, Minnesota is one of the underrated gems in this country. The whole Minneapolis area in the summertime is absolutely gorgeous. I love it there, Ron.
Yeah, it's really nice. I obviously have spent a lot of time here either playing or broadcasting, and we just sold our house up here and kind of getting things all situated from that. And so we took the time to come out here and spend some time with some friends and come out on the lake, and this is what you should do at All-Star break. If you can't hit anymore, that's for sure.
Oh, I bet you could still hit. Maybe not major league.
Better. That's not even close. I got no shot of hitting anymore.
Well, I'm not talking
Welcome
about
back
major
to,
league.
By the way, I wanted to say that. Welcome back. It's great to hear you on the radio. It's awesome that you're back in town for the week or however long you're going to be there. Great to hear you guys together.
Well, you know, you were one of our favorite guests. You're a wacky dude when you were hitting. So, I mean, now that you can't hit, you're still a wacky dude. So that's okay. When you say you're on a boat somewhere, Danny is lighting up like a, you know, he's crazy about it. He wants to be on that boat with you. Even though the other entertainment is in there, he wants to be in that boat. Mr. Boat here.
Mr. Boat. Ron, did you watch the Home Run Derby last night?
I did. Actually, we had some friends out and watched it. I wanted to see Schwarbs and Javi swing and see how they did, and they both did very well. I was happy for them. I was really happy for Kyle that, you know, he participated in that, even though he's not an all-star. You know, to be involved in those things, I just think it's important for all those young guys to do as much as you can and have fun with our game. Our game gets so serious sometimes, you know, that there's some fun to be had, and for Kyle to go there and enjoy D.C. and enjoy the festivities, why not, right? I thought it was fun.
I did, too. I wasn't expecting to enjoy it. I hadn't watched it in many years. Yeah. I can't remember the last time I even watched one of those things, but it was well-produced. It was exciting. There were stars having fun, too. And, man, is that a workout. Schwarbs is going to need a day to recover from that.
Schwarbs needs a little time on the boat now after that. It is a workout. I've participated in three different home run derbies, either as a big league player, not the one in the All-Star game, but different times we did those. And they are. You take a lot of swings in a hurry, so you're pretty gassed when it's all done. But they're fun. They're a good time.
How's the bar doing as we get ready to let you go? We don't want to keep you. You're having a good time. What the hell are we standing that we have a good time for? How's the bar doing?
Great. Thank you, Terry. We're doing outstanding. I'm pretty fortunate. We got a really good guy that's our head chef, and we've hired some new managers and got some people in there that are, you know, not letting me screw it up. So we're doing pretty well. And, the thing that's fun to me is now in Lockport, we've got, you know, all my buddies and friends that you grow up with. That you lose contact with a lot of those people because of what we do for a living, you know, and now that I'm back in town, I get to get involved with the high school and a lot of my friends and all of that. And I just think that's important. And, you know, it's been a lot of fun going out there and hanging out and
you know, telling people a bunch of lies and how good I used to be. And,
that's
they kind of believe it, you know?
What he's done, and I was talking about this earlier with Danny, and just talking about my high school, my 50th high school reunion is coming up, and should I go? Because I hadn't been to one since 88. I think I did the 20th. And listening to you makes me want to go, even though it's not the Lockport reunion, it's the Bloom reunion, and we hate Lockport.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we never got along.
Not friends.
Cool, no, sure.
Definitely not friends. We're not on the boat with you. But listening to you, you kind of make me want to do it again. You know, you really do. It's an interesting take on it. Yeah,
it is. You know, I just feel like I got to go back a few different times and do some things at our high school, and to me, I think for all of us who, you know, are in our business and in sports or entertainment. And, you know, I think it's fun to go back and to talk to some of the people that, you know, they listen. Obviously, they've listened to you guys for many, many years. And for you to go back and be able to tell some funny stories about crazy guests and just have fun. I think it's important to share all that and to just be one of the guys, you know, not be, you know, somebody that just be another guy in the room that, had some pretty good experiences. To me, that's what I really, really enjoy about being at a restaurant.
He just sold me. I'm going to send the damn thing in.
You should go. Yeah, go. Take a bow.
He just sold me on it. That's what Ron Coomer does from a boat.
You got no choice.
Coom Dog, thanks for the visit. Enjoy your afternoon on lovely Lake Minnetonka. No bad stories. I don't want to be reading the Tribune.
No.
Yeah.
no stories here. The love boat is about the other end of the lake. We're all good.
Okay.
Just normal, good fun. Terry, Danny, thanks for having me on. Terry, it's great to
love
great
you, buddy.
Hear you on the radio, buddy.
All right, take care. We'll see you soon.
That's Ron Coomer.
There's the boat.
The
Jesus
hailing.
There's too many boats.
That was
on the love boat.
That was quite an experience. That love boat. Remembering some of those. Then that was those,
Lord
Dante Culpepper, right?
Dante
Culpepper was part of it, and
the tackle.
Fred Smoot, good old number 21. I was steamed when the Bears passed on him on draft day. After all,
well, it is draft day.
It's draft day. A chance to get that button punched. I wanted Fred Smoot. Yeah,
Smoot
go
didn't.
On Lake Michigan with him.
Yeah, you have to stand in line to wait for Fred Smoot.
You know, we were talking with Bursich one day a few years ago. Spiegel and I had Pete Bursich on the show, and we were talking about Lake Minnetonka, which I've been on two or three times in my life.
You know, we had a chance to go be there permanently.
Yes, and that was one of the two times I fished Lake Minnetonka when we were recruited potentially to work at KFAN in Minneapolis. We were offered the morning show there.
You'd probably put that station out of business.
Probably. It was a generous offer for a market that size. It was a very generous offer.
For me, it was, yeah.
But Lake Minnetonka, I love the fishery, love the nature, right 10 minutes, 15 minutes outside of downtown Minneapolis. It's just great. And we were talking about Minnetonka being my favorite lake, and Spiegel says, Minnesota Lake Draft! So we have to draft lakes in Minnesota.
Oh, God.
So
I'm not about one deep.
Draft day.
Immediately, Jay goes to the internet, and I'm glad that Spiegel suggested it because he came up with a chain of lakes in Minnesota, which has a Big Dick Lake and a Little Dick Lake. Jay,
I've seen both movies.
Jay took Big Dick
I've
Lake.
I've seen
it
more than
draft.
Once. Wow. What? See, I didn't know. I would need the Google machine to look at another lake. I can't.
See, that's the beauty of Google.
I can't give you any. I got nothing for you on that.
I'm going to take the tracker up to Big Dick Lake this weekend and
that's
throw
why,
some big crankbaits.
That's why I turned down the offer. I said, how can I come here? I don't even know what your lakes are. How can I come here? What do you want me to do? What are we going to talk
can't
about?
Make it up. You pull up Big Dick Lake on Wikipedia and you read down a little bit. It is 256.2 acres. Big Dick Lake was named for a lumberman.
Lumberman.
Lumberman. We knew that.
Paul Bunyan under a drive.
We're back to Les. Les Grobstein.
Wow. Well, that's more than I knew. See, now I know. You want to start every day learning something you didn't know. And now I've got Big Dick and Little Dick Lake.
Yeah, and it's late in the day to be learning about Big Dick Lake.
Well, I
prefer to learn.
Certainly known more than one, but I
want you to tell I want you to tell the audience. I shared with Sheppy last week the Scipio Sphinx story. I want you to tell that in a little bit.
Oh, good God.
Yeah, that's a great Swirsky name if I get my whistle going. Scipio Sphinx.
He'll give you a whistle.
Scipio Spinks.
I know which lake he's on.
Standing dribble between the rings. Here comes the mustard.
Here's Scipio Spinks.
Here comes the relish.
Hey, what do you think of this?
I don't know. It's McNeil and Boers on the Score.
Will you help me?
Nope. Because you wouldn't pass the initiation.
What initiation?
Well, for starters, you have to purify yourself in the waters of Lake Minnetonka.
What?
You have to purify yourself in Lake Minnetonka.
Hey, wait a minute, that's...
That ain't Lake Minnetonka.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.